half a month's worth in stereo.
Pleasant good afternoon to you.
The XXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXX through, space and time.
So my name's Elise Bedro-Graham, and I'm a visual artist based here in Montreal, and I'm also a coordinator for the local art space Friends and Neighbors. I just did a collective reading event at Studio XX, but primarily my work is usually sculpture and installation, not so much interactive work.
Have you ever been to a collective reading event?
I don't think so. Never something that's actually a formal event. I've definitely had work dates with friends, but nothing where the intention was to sit down and read through something for fun. Someone asked me if they were worried that they were going to come and it was people reading out loud, and I think they were very relieved when it was people were just going to be reading solo. Like, I think people maybe sometimes discussed what they were reading, but it was more of an individual act happening together.
Which is what it's like to be on the internet.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
you're in like a cafe and you're on your computer with a bunch of other people, I guess. It's kind of a similar thing, but hopefully a bit more cozy.
And this was with intention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the idea for this project, its first iteration was in this solo exhibition I had maybe 3 years ago, and I had made a beanbag chair that people could sit in, and I had a plinth of paper, which was my own reading history, and I kind of expanded on that idea for this project, where people would come into this space and bring their own reading material. But the initial idea came from, after I graduated from university, I was working for a student union in their equity and accessibility office. So a lot of my work was like sitting in front of a computer and doing a lot of computer-based tasks. And I did that work for a year. And it was also, I was in a university setting and a political setting. But then I moved to Montreal and started working in the service industry again, and actually felt like I was missing out on a lot of conversations or what people were talking about online, and kind of realizing that in some way it's like a privilege, I guess, to be able to engage in these conversations and have the time to do that. So thinking about who shares all the content online and who has the chance to engage with that and who doesn't have the chance to engage with that. I don't know, I really wanted to have a physical space and have people print out what they were reading online so they could physically see what they're engaging with, because I think a lot of times we're like scrolling forever, reading like all this content online, and it's the kind of thing where 2 hours have disappeared and you don't really know what happened in those 2 hours. So I wanted these printouts so you can kind of see how much work you're doing through in reading these things. I created a poster series for the show that was my browser history for the past year, like all the articles that I've read, most of the articles I've read on my computer. And, well, first of all, I wanted something that people would draw people into the space and seem more like a traditional, like, gallery exhibit. So people would maybe feel a bit more comfortable in the space, they could engage with that, and then maybe start to read their own material. That would be the first thing that drew them in. And I'm really happy that I made this piece, and it was kind of emotional looking through it. Like, I could look back at certain chunks of articles that I've read and remember where I was or like who I was with, and it's kind of vulnerable a little bit. People could see like my trains of thought, and it was just another way to kind of show this mass amount of content that we're all going through that I don't think we really think about. We're constantly reading all the time, like people are engaging with each other through text, through Facebook Messenger. It's just a lot of content that is taking up so much space in our brain. It's funny that I feel like there were a lot of different approaches that people took to coming here. Some people definitely had articles that they had saved in their bookmark and they brought them and read them and like went through and printed another one and read through it. And then I had a few friends here who couldn't even like set the time aside to do that. I noticed they were more like checking their email or sending emails, and I couldn't sit down and actually read something for fun. I think we're just constantly skimming as well. A lot of my work is about labor, and I really wanted a physical space that represented this intellectual labor, because a lot of it is just happening, you know, inside our heads, and we don't recognize it as labor, like the labor it takes to be involved in a conversation about politics or news events or even like things happening in our own community. That is work. Unpaid work. I think to be someone engaged in a community, and I don't know, like as someone who's white, like examining my own privilege in a community and like staying informed on what's happening like in Montreal or in Canada and things that maybe aren't affecting me directly, but like making the effort to stay on top of these conversations, and it's work and it takes time, and I think like a lot of work is unpaid, and if you're someone who cares about what's happening in the community, like it is a lot of effort to like stay engaged. Yeah, it's like reading about like a Quebec queer history, and then there's like a margarita jello shot like recipe after it.
So do you feel there is an inherent relationship between identity production and this kind of scrolling, collecting, and gathering of content?
Definitely. I think like a lot of the ways we are known to other people now is online, like our Instagram profiles. Sometimes I don't know someone who's from Montreal, like I've never met them in real life, but I know their Instagram handle and I kind of know what they're up to, and that's the way that they're like represented to me. And something I think about a lot is also sharing certain articles, certain political articles, and what does that mean, and like should I share this thing if everyone I know is already sharing it, everyone's already read the same article, what am I really adding to the conversation? Is it more for myself that I'm like sharing this to show that I'm a good person and that I care about these kind of things? Like how much of it is public and how much of it is private, and what are our reasons for sharing those things? It's something I think about a lot. I don't really have an answer or saying something is good or bad, but yeah, it's something I think about.
I think about that a lot too. Yeah, who are we sharing for?
Yeah.
And how much of that is self-serving?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't have an answer for that, but it's definitely creates a certain personality about us, people talk about curating their online profile. It is like a curation, whether it be an aesthetic curation or curation of ideas or things that we promote or events we're going to. Yeah, it's definitely that.
And you said when you looked at, you were kind of going through this process of creating these posters, that you, it was very vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Why was that?
I think certain articles reminded me of certain people maybe who like aren't in my life right now, and remembering like sitting down with them reading this thing or making recipes together. Or it's funny how much emotion can be tied up in your online life, like looking, you know, it's like looking through old photos, except looking through old texts that have certain ties with certain people, looking at different news stories. And it's been like 2018 on a world scale has been a pretty rough year, and I think a lot of the news was pretty bleak, and I think probably some of the articles or things people have also read in the past year and cared about, and it's this like shared experience as well. Someone pointed out today, it was interesting to see who came to this event and asked, like, what does it mean to invite people into a space on a Saturday afternoon to kind of engage in this intellectual labor and unpaid labor, and who's coming? And I think it was a lot of my female or non-binary friends who came. And I feel like that's a lot of time, the people who are putting in a lot of this invisible labor. And it's also a lot of times people in marginalized positions who are creating all this content online for themselves to like talk about what they want to talk about, but that's also a lot of work. And then also who's engaging in these conversations, not just like in my event, but in general online, and who needs to care about these things and who doesn't need to care about these things.
This is a point I think about a lot, is this kind of feedback loop that we exist in. And as you're saying, people in marginalized positions creating this content, and it's being shared and, you know, kind of consumed by people who are already aware.
Mm-hmm.
And people, the people or other folks who, you know, maybe could use a little bit more awareness are not engaging.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how do we kind of break out of this cycle?
But it's also so much, like there's so much out there. Anything, any event that happens, like how many think pieces are like written about one specific thing, and like how do you choose which one you're engaging in, and then there's a response to the response, and it's pretty overwhelming. I think, I don't know, I've been joking that, like, the overwhelming feeling of our time is just exhaustion. Like, I think we're all exhausted, especially as people in activist communities or creative communities, we're just burning ourselves out, like, making this content, responding to this content. It's, yeah, it's overwhelming.
And does it ever kind of feel like, you know, the question, like, for what?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we putting in all of this time and energy?
I think so. Yeah. Something I'm also asking myself after doing this event, like, what does it mean to put on an event? And I don't normally work in ways where it's asking people to engage so much in a project. And I found it very hard to promote this event and get people and ask people to take their time to do it. And everyone's busy, and what am I doing? Just adding another event to all the events that are happening. Those are some things I'm thinking about now that this project is wrapping up.
But I think that this, like, specifically is really important because it's a space of reflection.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're saying, and you've said, you know, we kind of, there's so much and we're so overwhelmed by everything that's around us, but how much of that actual content are we deeply engaging with?
Yeah.
Or, like, taking the time to understand? And a space like this gives us that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important, in our daily lives to make space.
Yeah.
Which, like you're saying, you know, you're like, hey, come out to my event, and people are like, oh no, I'm too busy. Mm-hmm. Like, this could probably be, like, beneficial for
you. Yeah. Yeah, something I just thought about, asking people to also print out their articles and on paper and read them that way, I think is maybe useful for concentration, because you only have the paper in front of you. You're not, like, clicking on another link and have, like, another tab open. Like, this is the thing you're focused on right now.
Yeah.
Labor is, I think, the overarching theme in most of my work, and its relation to gender. One of the next projects I'm working on is a video relating to a series of stretches for service industry workers to alleviate the pain caused by working in the service industry. So I'm not sure how that relates to invisibilized labor, but also in content and in actual practice, a lot of my work is very tedious and takes a lot of effort, and I think it's work that's traditionally considered feminized labor. Like, I do a lot of craft work in my studio as well. I'm working on some rug hooking pieces right now. And these posters that I made were all hand-drawn for the show. And I think that kind of labor also, it is also kind of another form of slowing down and taking time to think, like using my hands and having to a practice that takes a long time. It is relaxing, yeah. But then I show it, and I guess people see it in a second, don't really know all the labor that goes behind it. One piece of artwork that I always come back to is by this artist, Mirelle Ukeli's Letterman, and it's the Maintenance Art Manifesto, and she wrote it in the 70s and was kind of talking, it was after she had children and was trying to figure out how she could make work when she was so busy being a mother, and was looking at maintenance art as a force of continuing and, like, repairing, instead of this idea of constant linear progression, which seemed like at the time a very like masculine way of working. And she did a project where she went into a gallery space and, like, just cleaned the gallery space, or she had an ongoing project in the 80s where she shook hands with every sanitation worker in New York City. So that's something I always come back to, this idea of maintenance and how to, like, sustain things instead of constantly trying to move forward on something new.
What were your most recent searches in the past few, like, the two events that you had?
Yeah, now I'm, like, really cognizant of, like, what I'm reading online. What did I read? Well, something I printed out to read was, and I honestly was a little distracted with hosting this event, and I didn't get to, like, fully read it, but Xenofeminism Manifesto, so, which I think is very apropos, but I'm gonna, like, printed it out. I'm actually going to go read it at home, and then I really want to read the Cyborg Manifesto, or two things. And I've also been printed out last week a bunch of articles related to, like, movement and gesture, and kind of trying to prep for my video piece that I'm working on.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Cool. So how is the practice of examining our tabs a valuable tool for looking at identity or personhood in a larger social context?
Mm-hmm. I think it's always useful to look back on what you've been reading and seeing common themes, and also maybe challenging yourself on what you're reading, or like more what you're not reading. It seems like everyone was reading something today about digital culture and being online. I don't think it was on purpose. I don't even think it was related to, even though that was kind of the theme of the show, I think people just happened to be, this is what everyone's thinking about. We're all online and looking critically at being online, but like reading it online. It's kind of this feedback loop almost. I think we do use our like intellectual interests as a way to kind of cultivate personalities, which I don't know what that means, but yeah, maybe look back at what you're reading as well and question that, and maybe try to challenge yourself in reading some things you haven't been reading. I don't know.
That are kind of completely outside of this bubble.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, especially with online culture and the way that we interact with social media, we're living in this very, very tiny bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as you're saying, like, everybody, or a lot of folks that came out or reading about being online.
Yeah.
That's something that is in this collective consciousness,
mm-hmm.
That we're trying to understand.
Yeah, it's funny, like, my mom sent me this link to an inspirational article, like, yesterday about, I think it was, like, a chain letter, I don't know, it was, like, Steve Jobs, like, last words or something, so it's funny to see what she was reading, and I want to maybe get outside of my own bubble and try to read some, maybe some more, like, local news, like, Francophone news, and see what's happening there. Yeah, challenge myself a little bit.
Talked a little bit about this earlier and how we share in order to kind of be part of something.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the less we share, the more we move further away from our social group or just kind of part of something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you had thought about that or if you could talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think we share in a way to kind of cultivate these relations chips with people, or like be like, I see you, like you see me, like we're talking about these things. But why does that have to be like Facebook or Instagram? I started a crit group last year and we got together and kind of shared articles and also talked about our art practices, and that was a really nice way of meeting new people and getting together. I think, as cheesy as it is, I think getting together physically in real life with people is really important. Maybe it's a reading group or just getting together with friends and talking about like what we've been reading. I think it can get really shallow if we're sharing articles, or like people will share it and be like, didn't read yet, but like sharing to read for later, you know?
It's almost like a... meditation. It shouldn't be like, you know, getting together and hanging out with your friends, talking about things that are happening in the world. Like,
Yeah, I'm really happy that it turned out to be such a relaxing space. That was my goal.
Is there anything that you omitted from your browser history? And I also wanted to know if incognito mode is included.
The only time I ever use incognito mode is when I've used up my New York Times free article limit and then try to read more articles. I don't really use that, but I definitely did omit a few things, like, I don't know, porn-related things, or if I was Googling a specific person in Montreal and thought maybe they would be here. I think those were the only two things that I omitted. I just read this article yesterday that I was like, oh, I'm glad that I already finished these posters. It was like, woman, like, is a scientist and worked with these dolphins and then, like, developed this sexual relationship with a dolphin. I'm like, now I'm, like, being really hypercognizant of what I'm reading. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. But, like, we're all reading trash.
The Courtney Cox stuff.
Yeah.
And then it was, like, Kim Cattrall's brother
died. Yeah.
Like, that shit I look up.
Yeah, totally. Like, 45 engagement photos that don't look real. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, totally.
In the fight against COVID-19, we must all continue to respect public health guidelines and follow self-isolation instructions. Self-isolate if you have symptoms. Self-isolate after testing. Self-isolate if the test is positive. Self-isolate when you return from a trip. And self-isolate when you've been in contact with someone who's tested positive. Self-isolation is important. Please, take it seriously. Learn more at quebec.ca/self-isolating. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
CKUT Radio. Radio.
What? My radio stuck on CKUT. I don't know. But nah, fix it. CKUT, the number one radio station in Montreal. We give you the sun, the moon, the rain, the stars and the mountain. CKUT give you the world.
Clippity clap, clappity 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 high. Clippity clap, clappity 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 high. Rose.